My name is Melinda Papillo, and I serve here as a member of the community and as pastor. I've been here for over a year now, and I'm thriving. Love being here. We thought we would start with introducing you to some of the faces. We have a couple guest faculty that we specifically invited to be part of this space and to share their gifts. And I could see one waiting out in the hall. Linda! this is your magical moment. I don't know if you've met Linda Brightdeck. She's an absolute hoot, and we wanted to have a musician here with us at the women's retreat, and we're like, we know who we want to invite. So anything you want to say, there's a microphone here, or you can just talk loud, whatever.
Right. Okay, I brought my notes because... I'm a writer. I kind of get sidetracked into 500 little things. So, hi. I'm Linda, and I'm a songwriter and a fiddler. And I also do other stuff. I write prose, and I make weird little animals out of recycled sweaters, and I take care of little kids, etc. Anyway, so... since we're talking about story, we'll be doing some thinking about story. And it's not really about, you know, there's no need to be afraid if you're not a musician or not a writer or whatever you think you're not, because we're just going to be playing with ideas and words, having fun with words, and seeing what we come up with. So it'll be, okay, now I gotta go back. Okay. Here's my little blurb. Whether it's a whole saga or just sets a mood, every song emerges from some story about how life is, how it was, how it could be, how it should be, depending, you know, rants are good. I like rants. You know, like, this is how we should be. So the same story can be seen from many angles, as you all know, just looking at different things in the world people come up with. Every possible take on, you know, I mean, just look at the political system, you know, same reality, 500 different ways to look at it, but let's not talk about that. So, you know, and if it feels intimidating, you know, bring your to-do list. I mean, literally, this is not about making some kind of polished thing. It's really about looking, having fun first, but also looking and seeing what's there. Sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's really heartbreaking, sometimes it's both. And one thing that I'm really interested in lately, just I don't know if it's an age thing or what, you know, my parents are going into the last days, and my daughter is just graduating from college. And sort of starting, then I'm like, well, whoa, where do I fit? So it's a lot of thinking about stories in the sort of, I guess, the way I've been introduced to it is through Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the story we tell ourselves, which can sometimes be very unhelpful. And how could we look at that story, which we often see as truth? Well, this is just my story, you know. I did this, and that didn't work out, and then I did this, and that was kind of okay, but maybe I should have married that guy, or you know what I mean? It's like that little kind of like, what did I do wrong, or if I had only, or whatever, and just to play with that and think, you know, what if I looked at those exactly same things that happened in my life and completely saw them from another angle? You know, like maybe how God sees us. Like, whoa, you did, you know, you're doing your best. So anyway, I don't know, I'm going on. Okay, that's what we're doing. Please come.
Thank you, Linda. So there is I realize I'm going to be going over this in more detail. Sort of the second half of our time together before dinner tonight is going to be the first session. And I'll be leading us through a biblical reflection, but I like to think of our sessions as kind of like a sandbox where we get to play, and if we start to build something and we don't like it, then we can mow it down and build something else and giggle and have fun. So the theme will be story. We're going to start today by sort of just like noticing. Tomorrow we're going to be trying the vomiting, you know, just sort of like getting it out. Not the whole thing, right? Not the whole thing, but just maybe aspects of our story. Then Sunday, it's going to be reframing, because a lot of times we think we've made up our mind or other people have made up their minds and thus our story for us. So Sunday, our third session is really going to be about reconstructing. And then finally, the final day is blessing the prophetesses that we are. I just feel like there's a real richness, especially around us with the Me Too movement and all kinds of things, even as we're looking at race and how we talk about where we come from and who we are, that we need not make assumptions all the time, that we need reflective time to look at our stories. So that's what we're going to be doing. And so Linda is actually, I'm so excited, going to be having these song labs where we get to try and do story through writing, music, lyrics and stuff. And she is a blast. You may think you have no musical talent whatsoever, and it will be totally fun. So we're very excited. but you cannot tell a story without thinking about your bodies. I think oftentimes we keep it all in our heads. So I'm thrilled that Kathleen is going to be here. And I don't know if you want to come up and just introduce yourself briefly. You can. I will not force anybody to do anything on this retreat.
Wait a minute.
You just want to sit in your room. I'll bring you toast. It'll be fine. So if you want to stand by the microphone and just... Okay, you just want to talk there? Great.
Hi, I'm Kathleen. And my story reflects what I've come to in terms of yoga. Mm-hmm. When people tell me yoga doesn't work for me, I say, then it wasn't yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was an outdoor professional. I had a sea kayak touring business. I was a backcountry skier. I played soccer, mountain bike. I did all that sort of stuff. And then I had a blood feast on me when I was hiking, climbing a mountain. Mm-hmm. And that was 20 years ago, and I spent 20 years undiagnosed with Lyme disease.
Oh.
So, and that's been another interesting, journey into the complexity of the body and treating late-stage Lyme disease and grieving losses and rebuilding and restoring a life. So that's the process I'm in. I was I started doing yoga when I was 15 in Cedro Woolley with Lilius on TV. So, and I'm really interested in origins. I finally figured out that my current theme for my holding all my disparate parts of life together now is the original things. And so, like Matthew Fox's original blessing, the original people who inhabited this land and still do. The original form that our body had before it got like this, mm-hmm. and before our knees. And I worked with, actually kids are worse. Teenage boys, their spines are stuck in flexion. Mm-hmm. And of course our bodies are screaming at us, and they're right. they're right. And so the work that I do is to teach people how to see their posture as not being in alignment and just buck up and accept that. You're not perfect. You probably know you're not perfect. Maybe medicine, Western medicine, has told you this is how you have to be the rest of your life. But I've seen countless times where that's not true. And it's like miraculous, and people have said to me, oh, you healed me, and it's like, no, I didn't. No, you did the work. Okay, so I'm starting to rant. already. and I'd like to just share one thing with you right now. If you don't come to the sessions, I understand, but I can share one thing with everybody right now, and I'd love to do that if you like to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just need a chair. And if you can kind of see me, I don't know where will be the best place for everybody to see me. These chairs are not bad. Most chairs, cars are worse, the very worst. when we're sitting here in these chairs like this, mm-hmm. what happens is, shoulders are a little bit rounded. Mm-hmm.
You
can
become a C.
Yeah.
My hips are.
Yeah. And so then you think, oh, I need to sit up. Mm-hmm. and you do this, right? How does it feel? It doesn't feel, it feels forced, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have this, women have this beautiful bowl called the pelvis that gives birth to life. And if we tilt it forward, so here I am with it tilted back. If we tilt it forward from the hips, just go back and forth. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Like you're pouring honey out the front. So really that opens your chest and heart to breathe and be open to God and to people. It brings things into realignment. It makes you taller so that your spine has the curves, restores the cervical curve, restores the lumbar curve, all of that. So especially when I'm driving, I do that. And I did that all the way up to Stevens Pass and back and then around Snoqualmie. So we'll have one session that's about listening to pain for sure. I might be doing a warm up for skiers and hikers and walkers that's general range of motion for the whole body. Mm-hmm. And I taught cross country skiing and did a college community course on cross country skiing and yoga together. So I love doing that kind of thing. And thank you.
All right, and then we got a special treat. Your ski instructor, Corky, is phenomenal. And so, I mean, to do some warm-up with Kathleen, we love to see that happen. And then if you want to ski with Corky, I've had one-on-one lessons with him, and he's, like, brilliant. So, but he comes with a partner. His partner, Nancy, is here. And I was like, I know I saw her. There she is. And she offered to start her days with meditation. So if you are a morning riser, you can use the microphone or just speak freely.
I'll just speak. I think you can hear me. Do the skiing. Get the lesson. It's a great opportunity. Meditation, so we've had story and we've had body, now you have mind, right? So mind is the real, if you don't use your mind, you'll never get around to making your body well. I'm offering three sessions. That's from 7 to 7:30 in the morning, just before breakfast, in the basement of the Chalet 2. Same place you're going to have your welcoming reception tonight. A lot of people have heard about meditation already. I mean, 20 years ago, it was a new thing, but it's not new anymore. So could I just have hands of people, those of you who have tried meditation before? Everybody, almost everybody. And is there anybody that has like a daily practice of meditation? Wonderful. So I hope you guys will come to help hold the space. But I also really invite those of you who didn't put your hand up to come and give it a try. Holden is all about trying something new, and it may be something that you continue. I met a guy who came here, 40 years ago. He did pottery, once. And then he did pottery at home for like 20 years because he had tried it at home. So I invite you to give it a try. Many people come to meditation these days because they've heard about the medical benefits. There are medical studies that show that meditation helps with all the kinds of things we have, depression, anxiety, high blood pressure, immune system, focus and concentration. Anybody have any difficulties? And there's also brainwave studies that they've done on people who meditate a lot. And actually, even people who only meditate 20 minutes for 30 days, they've shown that there's a difference in your actual brain that shows that there's a part of the brain that lights up when you're happy, contented, all that. And it does that when you meditate. And it actually carries over, so even when you're not meditating, you're happier. So all of those studies are out there. A lot of people come because they hear that. But from the I follow a Tibetan Buddhist tradition. And from our point of view, those are all just side effects. That the actual intent is spiritual. And from a Christian point of view, you would say it's to know God. idea is that you have to still your conceptual mind in order to allow your wisdom mind, the God that's in you, to emerge. So those of you who are here looking for some kind of discernment about your life, I suggest you start the day in a quiet state. There will be instruction that will work for beginners, with lightly guided meditation. Tomorrow morning, we'll work with the breath, because that's one of the most common objects that we use. And then on Sunday, we'll do sound. We'll listen and use that as a way to calm the conceptual mind. And on Monday, we'll do loving kindness practice, which is a good way to kind of finish the retreat and send out whatever it is that we've gotten from the retreat. So any questions? I hope you'll come and rest with God with me. It looks like a lot of you are nodding, so maybe I better put out some more chairs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See you tomorrow then.
Thank you. So those are our guest stars, our visiting staff. We have some resident stars that I'd like to introduce as well. Angela is going to be teaching a couple sessions. And if you'd like to introduce yourself, who you're in the village, and what you'll be leading.
I am going to use this because I have a quiet voice, and I'm coming to terms with that. And probably there's some people here who struggle with hearing, so hopefully this will help you guys hear me. I'm Angela Metzke. I've been here in the village for 2 years. I'm a trained Waldorf teacher, and I've done a lot of training around what's called biography work. And biography work is looking at your life in 7-year cycles and telling your story, finding common themes, common what I call consider chains that and patterns of behavior, and also ways in which other people have impacted our ability to connect to one another. And so I'll be leading a short workshop on just kind of a small introduction to biography work. And I'll be using a spiral to kind of look at these 7-year time frames in our life and the things that have been influential in that time and the movement that's happened for us and how those things have guided us to where we are now, kind of as an informant for what is unfolding before us and how we can deepen our relationships with ourselves, with God, and with one another. So I just am excited to have you guys come. And then I'll be doing another song circle workshop with my friend Kate, who is the Village Potter. And if you guys have not heard her sing, you should definitely come to her concert. She is quite amazing. She's been writing more music than anyone I have ever seen in my life in the last year. And so she'll be giving a concert on Saturday evening after Vespers. Yep. So, but we'll be leading the song circle together. Also, I would like, I oversee the arts enrichment here at Holden Village, and so I would like to invite you guys to come down to the craft space, the art studio downstairs, which really, truly has become an art studio. We've had a lot of work done on it, and it is absolutely beautiful. And if you look, there's just details, all the wood from this valley, and all the trim is done, looms are in place.
Light, lots of light.
There's light. It's like, it's actually incredible. So if you feel like creating, yeah, it's a really wonderful space to do that in. And if you have any questions about materials or things for creating, Kelly or myself or Carolyn Giese, who is also here, are happy to support you and help you with that. And the pottery studio is kind of open for playing with clay, but we won't be able to fire anything before people go home. So I just want to let you know that doing some exploration down there, and one of the things we've been focusing on in our arts team has been process versus product. And so one of my encouragements to you for this weekend is that you live into the process of what you're doing and just accept everything that comes as a gift. So thank you so much.
And then so a couple other staff that I want to introduce. Peg, who is one of our directors here in the village. She's just cool. She's not responsible for anything like presentation-wise.
This is such an amazing time for me because I will be traveling with you as I can and being in class with you. And I'm really, what I'm doing right now is doing a lot of processing because our time for being here at Holden is coming to an end at the end of the summer. So we're thinking about the next thing. And so we'll be doing a lot of that kind of work. And I just want to say I started my work here at Holden Village with this group. When we leave, it'll be almost 6 years, which I can't even believe. But I have been keeping a journal called You've Got to Be Kidding Me. So I have lots of things to process and lots of words to get organized. And so I'm really looking forward to being with all of you this week. And thanks for coming. Thank you.
And you've already met her, but I just want to acknowledge her again. Julia, you'll hear many of us call her Hubs. When she started here, her last name's Hubbard, and so there was another Julia here, but she'll answer to both. Has been an amazing leader to help this retreat come into being, and she may not be up in front, but please know she has those gifts, so and holds much wisdom. So thank you to you, too, for all that you've been to support this. I'm going to grab this so I don't forget to say something about it. Oh, and Rachel, gosh, I didn't even see you back there. There's other staff here that's too. We're going to have different staff sharing stories. All three of them are in the room. We thought it was, a lot of times there's a disconnect between the women's retreat and the staff, and we really wanted to kind of blur those lines intentionally so that the beginning of the first three sessions that I'm doing, different women from the staff will be sharing a little nugget of their own story. So Rachel, who works in program and education, you want to stand up?
She is standing up.
Be nice. Emma, who is our librarian and works with media here. And then Barbara, who is in registration. Yay! Thank you. And there's much behind-the-scenes stuff already today. There was a whole group of us, like, worrying around in Chalet, too, trying to make sure everything's ready. So now I'm going to give you just about maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever you need, just to kind of stretch and come right back, or you can stay right where you're at. The reason why I'm holding one of these is if you've got short legs like I do, these chairs can be kind of tedious to sit in. So you can use these for kneeling meditation, if you wish, underneath your bum, but most of us use them for our feet. And also, just a note, handicrafts are totally okay. I will not be offended if you're knitting away during my session. So please know that that is just part of Holden culture here, and we love it. We encourage it. So let's just take about 4 or 5 minutes to kind of stretch. There's one bathroom this way, and there's two at the top of the stairs. As soon as you get to the top, just sort of head to your right.
This is a retreat, and we're trying to notice, because so often in our lives, I'll speak for myself, it's hard to notice things because we're so busy and we got our head going. So I can't believe how great the however you did this, where you put together, you know, yoga, words and music, and meditation, and all these other amazing story-related things. Because it's, you know, mind, body, heart, the whole enchilada. Mm-hmm. So this is a little song that I'd like you to sing on, and basically all it is about slowing down and noticing, which is nice. So the chorus is one thing, and the rest of the verses are all just a list of noticings. Okay, so chorus. Actually, I think probably at least one person or two, Neil says. So it's brother, sister, take your time, go slowly, listen very carefully. Simple things are holy. And it goes like this. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully, simple things are holy. So let's try that. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. are holy.
Beautiful.
The shape of a cat and the smile of a stranger. A loved one asleep in no fear of danger. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully, simple things are holy. The careless glory of the young and the grace of old lovers, the trail of geese across the sky, and the hawk that hovers, the painful apology and the welcoming pardon, the first crocus of the spring, the overflowing garden. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully, simple things are holy. The head on the shoulder, the tears of the lonely one and the arms that hold her, good friends wrestling in the park, the wild shouting laughter, the low moaning in the dark, the sweet silence after. La 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 la. The sun on my winter bones, the slow summer thunder, a last breath upon this earth, the eyes wide in wonder. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully, simple things are holy. Brother, sister, take your time, go slowly. Listen very carefully, simple things are holy.
Realized I was going to come up and start reading for scripture, but I think before we get into the biblical text for today, we're going to be starting each session with a different member of our community sharing a snippet of their own story. And so I want to give space to Rachel Metters, who is on staff here, to begin by sharing her. Oh, she moved.
All right, so I'm Rachel. I work in the Education and Program Department, and I use she, her, or they, them pronouns. And I've been in the village for about a year and a half. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I first came to Holden. But I want to start with a poem by Mary Oliver called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan? and the black bear. Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down. Who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So, I first arrived to this strange and beautiful place in the wilderness on a winter J term with my school in college, my sophomore year, and our professor gave us an assignment to memorize a poem, and we were given three options, and the summer day was one. And I actually didn't pick that one, but my best friend did. So we came here by train, and I heard my friend Julia recite this Mary Oliver piece again and again and again over the 2 days that we were on a train, and then also once we got here. And I thought the poem was beautiful, but I didn't think much of it beyond that. Over the course of my 6 weeks in the village, I came to love this place. I felt my naturally anxious brain become still by the mountains around us, the simple rhythms here, and the people who had such depth. So I loved it a lot, and I came that next summer to volunteer. We spent much of the summer, June, July, and August, hauling rocks, moving furniture, and digging a huge trench along Chalet Hill. But then we also had volunteer groups every week join us for 1 week commitment. So they would come in every Sunday and they would leave every Saturday. And on the Saturday of their departure, we had a sending matin service instead of an evening vespers to send them off with a blessing. We always read the same excerpts from the same authors each week. Saturday after Saturday, heard the same things. We would hear from Martin Luther King Jr., Wendell Berry, some scripture, and also Mary Oliver. That poem, The Summer Day, was read every single week for 3 months while I was here. People have said that getting messages from God starts subtly, but then God eventually hits you over the head with whatever they're trying to tell you. For me, that was not the case. I was just given a repeated poke week after week after week until I got annoyed enough to get out of my own way and pay attention to the gift that I was meant to receive. That summer, spending time in Holden Village, I was the happiest that I had ever been in my life. And that summer, I think God was really asking me to notice what it was that made that so, and to take those lessons into my life outside of this place. I was being taught that I could shape my story as it went, to cultivate joy, and to create the narrative that would lead to a fuller life. God was not shoving me or shouting at me, but drawing me to the still, small voice inside that is intrinsically wise and knows the way. I practiced noticing that summer. Thanks to the people around me who pushed me to question, I noticed what made this place so happy for me. I felt fulfilled by relationship, conversation, depth, vulnerability, and curiosity. I felt fulfilled by simplicity. I noticed that while Vespers was really interesting to me in a lot of different ways, the way that I felt at prayer around the cross, around a bowl of candles, was also how I felt sitting watching the creek flow, and how I felt on the trail inhaling the scent of pine and spruce, and how I felt waking up at 5 a.m. to water the plants and watch the sky paint itself into incredible shades. I remember one night in Chalet 3, we had a gathering for someone's last night in the village, and we had a round of hot seat questions where we traditionally ask people who are about to leave different reflective questions about their time in the village. That night, the person who was present, Inge Childs, decided she didn't want to answer all the questions herself, and so we all had to answer the questions that we asked her and the questions that she asked us. And she came up with a question at the end of the night, and she said, "Everyone always asks, what is your darkest secret? Well, I want to know, what is your brightest secret?" And so when it came my turn to answer, my answer came from a place of inner knowing that even surprised me. It was one of those moments where I said something and then I was like, huh, where did that come from? But I had said, I'm the happiest I've ever been here, and when I finish and graduate school, I think I'm going to come back here for a year. And so that really led me to believe that our bodies are prophets, our lives are sacred, and our stories are powerful. While I don't always know how to verbalize my story, how to embody it, or how to share it, I do know how to pay attention. And that attention allows me to honor my story as it's happening. Without understanding it or necessarily making sense of it, I can honor my story as it is. I honor my story by paying attention. Here and now in the village, for me, that looks like walking on my way to breakfast and just stopping and looking at the mountains. It means noticing the way that the light hits Dumbbell Mountain at different points in the day. It means writing poetry, lighting candles, and going on walks. Rumi, the poet Rumi, once said, "There are 1,000 of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Here at Holden, I have found 1,001 ways to do so, and practicing reverence every day is part of how I enter my attention to story here. And so I invite you into the same."
In order to be able to tell a story, we have to notice the story that is happening around us. And since this is the biblical verse that is shaping our time together, I thought in this first session that is focused on noticing, on paying attention, I would just read it aloud. So this is from the 14th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 3. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on Jesus' head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." I couldn't help but think of this book. Perhaps you're familiar with it. It's been around for a while. The author is Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza, and she has written a feminist theological reconstruction of Christian origins. It's mouthy, I know. I think she's German. But the book is entitled In Memory of Her. So I want to begin with, and she's specifically talking about this verse, so I just want to begin with some of her words. In the passion account of Mark's gospel, three disciples figure prominently. On the one hand, two of the 12, Judas, who betrays Jesus, and Peter, who denies him, and the other, the unnamed woman, who anoints Jesus. But while the stories of Judas and Peter are engraved in the memory of Christians, the story of the woman is virtually forgotten. Although Jesus pronounces in Mark, "And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her," the woman's prophetic sign action did not become a part of the gospel knowledge of Christians. Even her name is lost to us. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed and the Eucharist celebrated, another story is told, the story of the apostle who betrayed Jesus. You may remember when we gather around communion, we say, in the night in which he was betrayed, thus connecting Judas to Jesus. But the name of the faithful disciple is forgotten. And these are Elizabeth's words, and I agree, because she is a woman. Although the story of the anointing is told in all four Gospels, it is obvious that the redactional telling of the story seeks to make the story more palatable to patriarchal Greco-Roman audience. Now, that's a lot of words. I'm going to parse that down in our time together, but I don't want to spoil it just yet. We're just going to leave Mark's telling here in the middle of the room, and we can nudge the other ones later. Yeah, I think that's all I want to say about that, because I want to let the Mark story stay. And Mark, we don't know her name. Mm-hmm. We just know this action. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. So like I said, this book I came across, I was a sophomore in college at Valparaiso University in the 90s. So like the early 90s. And I took a class my sophomore year by a professor named Richard Damaris. He was the only Bible theology professor on staff that wasn't Lutheran. If you know about Valparaiso's history, you may know that there was a time where it was more connected with the Missouri Synod than the ELCA. If you don't know the difference between these different siblings of Lutheranism, the ELCA is the more progressive end where women are allowed. We have a much more open way that we read scripture, and there's a whole bunch of other things. But at the time, the Missouri Synod that does not ordain women, their voice was really predominating in the Valpo context. That has since changed, I can tell you, and they now announce ahead of time if you're going to be entering into an ELCA service or a Missouri Synod, so you know to be ready if there might be a woman up at the altar. But it was this raucous time when I was there, and I took this class on women in the Bible and dug into this text. So it was a wild time. There was a professor who led us in this kind of wonky period where we decided, she got up, and we didn't know she was going to do this. I'm sure there were others. As a student, I didn't know this was going to happen. She got up in front of morning prayer, and she, you know, at a podium much as this, and she started preaching her homily, which is like a short sermon, and she started preaching her homily and was talking about how women's voices have been silenced, and that much of scripture had been written by men, and that there's people's names that we don't even have. And she's like, it's almost as if women are here in our midst, and suddenly she literally preached. It felt like forever. It was probably only a few minutes. But she preached the rest of her sermon by mouthing the words. And then, so then there was a group of us that were invited to sit in solidarity, and we'd go to the different services that would happen through the week, and we'd hold our hymn books. And as everybody was singing, I was, you know, we mouthed the words, and there was a movement that came out. Walter Wangren was one of the people sitting around the table, and we sat with some of our theology professors and some of my feisty Missouri Synod female friends, and the meeting was called Re-Examining the Ordination of Women in the Missouri Synod Room. The group was called Room. But this was the kind of space that I was in. So I came to Valparaiso as a sophomore. And then I went with Youth Encounter, or then it was called Lutheran Youth Encounter Ministries, and went and worked with missionaries in South America. And so doing all these different things, speaking Spanish, engaging, and in a very masculine culture in Latin America, right? And I had gone through my sophomore year, I felt called to be a pastor. And it was one of those weird moments that over a meal, I can tell you more about it. But it was just one of those, sick, I didn't hear any voices, but I just knew that I was supposed to go to seminary. And I had shared this with Rick Damaris, my professor, in this class. But then I went off to South America and worked with different things, and I was wrestling with all these things, and I had come to this profound conclusion by my senior year that I still felt called to be a leader, but I'm not one of those fight kind of, like, I didn't want to get in there and have them all be distracted by my womanness, that I could lead from behind the scenes, and I felt really good about this, and I was going to be a counselor. And I remember it was like the last week of my time at Valparaiso, and I was probably getting a signature from Professor Dr. Damaris, and I was like, he's like, so do you know what's next? And I was like, yeah. I said, you know, I'd been thinking, I know I'm called to seminary, and I've been thinking about the pastor thing, but I really want to work with Latin American culture, and that, you know, it's such with the machismo and everything, that I think I'm going to be like a counselor or something. And I remember just being all wide-eyed and excited about it. And I watched his face fall. And he said, I hope we didn't teach you that. Now, you all need to hold me accountable. I have not written this man a letter. He has no idea that I've become a pastor. And I keep wanting to go back, and I need to let him know, because I think he's still there at Valpo. So harass me this weekend. There are stories that we tell about ourselves that we even think we're the author of. And the reality is, it is often the context around us that is grounding us, shaping us, declaring for us, this is your story. And we even begin to think it's a good idea. We put it on. And I mean, there were no women professors in the theology department when I was at Valpo. So it's quite possible. And I'm a first child, so I've always been kind of like a people pleaser, you know, keeping the peace, trying to hold things together. I want us to notice. I want us to notice our own stories and maybe even think about who has shaped them, because we may be playing these tapes in our mind that we're the ones that have shaped them. But maybe we could pull out one of these little nuggets. So I'm, you know, with Angela, you're going to be kind of looking at the broader sweep, but probably here in these sessions, we're just going to be looking at smaller pieces of them. And even when we get to Sunday, we're going to tell these stories that we've told ourselves in a different way, just to try and break out of perhaps some things that have been put upon us. I'm hoping that this will be playful time, not stressful. And if you miss a session, know that you won't be out of the loop. Like if you fall asleep tomorrow, because tomorrow's session is like right before dinner. So if you're napping and you're like, oh shoot, I slept through this, I can't go to the rest of them, don't worry about it. Just come back on Sunday, it'll be great. I'm keeping my sessions only to an hour, and they will be a little bit interactive, and I want us to play around with it. First, I'm just going to have us standing up and down, because there's, for every story, there is a context, right? And so I'm going to invite you to stand if the statement is true for you. If standing is hard on your knees or hips, or you're just exhausted because it's been, you can raise your hand. You don't have to move about the cabin at all. So if you're sitting on the floor and it's hard to get down, you can just kind of raise your hand. So you're just going to stand, okay? And this is just to start us thinking about, right, my story has a context. The idea of sharing stories, and when you think about that, you're kind of curious and maybe even a little bit excited. Please stand. Just ever so briefly. Okay, so this is the curious, maybe even partially enthused about telling your story. Have a seat. If the idea of sharing your stories made your stomach flip, and you're thinking, maybe I'll just stay in the art studio and weave the whole time because you really are not interested in sharing your stories, you can stand. Just curious. But loud and proud, right? Like, seriously. Please know there's no requirements. I will be inviting, encouraging, wholeheartedly, like, doing my best to cheer you on, but you are not required to do that. If this is just, like, not where you're at, feel free to go grab a mug of tea and sit and watch the snowfall. You have my permission, okay? Coming to Holden Village feels like a reunion. Please stand. For some of you, this is true, right? This is part of why we come back. Okay, have a seat. You have come to this retreat totally on your own. I was just curious. Yeah, please notice this. Not everybody came with a group. Okay, have a seat. I know, right? So now this is a list, and you can stand for more than one of them. The main thing that you need right now is rest. How many of you need rest? And I make you stand. Ha ha. Okay, have a seat. Main thing you need right now is connection. Yeah? Okay. Main thing you need right now is spiritual practice of some kind. Yeah?
Yeah,
Sometimes people just come for the wilderness. Have a seat. And that may be spiritual or not. So how many of you come for, and the main thing you need right now is like wilderness and snow and outdoors.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Okay. How many of you are really hoping for some like deep reflection time? That's kind of like the main thing you need. Usually when people come to retreats, that's a high point, but it's not necessarily what everybody's looking for, right? Okay. How many of you here are just here to experience Holden Village? Okay. All right. Some of you may not give a rip. You're like, I just needed a break, and I like this is what I pointed. I don't know. Okay, how many of you would self? I'm going to make the introvert stand first. How many of you self-identify as introverts? Loud and proud. All right, there you are. Okay, how many are extroverts? That's the rest of you. You can just sit, be seated. You're used to standing up anyway. Please know, it is not just the extroverts that get to be good at telling stories. We all have them. And sometimes introverts are some of the more blessed storytellers that I've met because they're not blabbing all the time, right? They're not the external processors like me, right? That there's more thought and poetry and things that go in. So this is choose your own adventure. So whether storytelling comes naturally to you or not, whether you see yourself as introverted or extroverted, I'm hoping there's some wiggle room for you wherever you're at. How many of you feel like you're good at telling stories, whether it be written down or aloud? Anybody sort of feel like? Notice that that is the minority in the room. I was hoping that was going to be true. Have a seat. Notice that's the minority in the room. But I'm so grateful to Linda's song. I mean, simple things are holy. We each have amazing stories to tell. And then I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I just want you to think about this. If you think that you really don't have stories to tell, because there are some of us that might stand to that. There's really nothing that I have to offer. And I would invite you just to kind of hold that sentiment very tenderly and perhaps whisper to her,